Hi, you're listening to Mike Loughran and the Management Perspectives podcast. Please follow me on LinkedIn and Twitter, where I publish all of my podcasts and blogs. Hi, my name is Mike Loughran, and this is the Management Perspectives podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by two guests today, James Hind, Group Chief Executive Officer at Energy Drive, alongside Tom O'Reilly, Vice President Sustainability at Rockwell Automation. Over the course of this discussion, we're going to find out a little bit more about the role that technology plays in implementing more sustainable practices. But we're also going to be looking at how making changes to existing business models helps to ensure sustainability and productivity and make sure they successfully coexist. Now, these factors are especially important when it comes to energy reduction, both in terms of improving efficiency and reducing demand. James, Tom, welcome to you both. Lovely to be speaking with you today. And I'm really looking forward to the lessons we can learn from all your experiences. Would you like to introduce yourselves to the listeners?
Yes, thanks, Mark. As you mentioned, James Hind, privileged to be CEO of Energy Drive. Really, our business model is around providing energy efficiency as a service. And we're proud partners with Rockwell, and we collaborate on delivering their product globally.
Hi, Mike. Hi, James. Good to be with you today. As Mike said, my name's Tom O'Reilly. I'm the Vice President of Sustainability for Rockwell Automation. I'm responsible for both our external and our internal efforts around sustainability. And I look forward to today's discussion.
Great. Thank you both. So let's start the discussion with a little context around the broad issues that impact sustainability. What are some of the challenges organizations are facing around implementing sustainability, and what role does digital transformation play? James.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I mean, what we've realized initially in the South African context to the market we initially started our focus and our product offering in, and more recently in the EU and now North America, is that heavy industry face a number of operational challenges, as well as commodity cycles, et cetera, et cetera. And in addition of late, they face significant pressure around delivering sustainability or ESG targets. Investors into these heavy industries apply significant pressure indirectly through their investment criteria. And organizations that need to deliver operational efficiencies and execution and quality, et cetera, having to deploy or to manage significant projects to deliver very significant sustainability targets, it's just an additional pressure. And added to that, what we've come to realize an additional global problem is resource, lack of resources, especially engineering resources. These heavy industries have often been underinvested, so they actually face significant constraints, often around maintenance and equipment failure, et cetera. And they've battled over time to attract young graduates and engineering competencies into their fields. You know, they're much more attractive industries for the youth these days. So with those challenges in mind, we really see that there's significant opportunity for businesses that provide these as services, so that effectively service-orientated business models or performance contracting models, where you add additional capacity to an organization such as heavy industry, where you can partner and collaborate with the likes of a Rockwell around, you know, the numerous digital products and core technologies that they have. Package that through collaboration with the client and the client's resources, and actually add additional capacity to deliver on sustainability targets and not distract clients' resources significantly. Tom, I don't know what your experience has been.
Yeah, I'd say that, as you mentioned, there's a significant pressure externally, whether it's from consumers or investors, manufacturing companies to start focusing more on sustainability, whether it's the greenhouse gases or energy reduction or water stewardship. And I'd say that the couple of things that I'd like to mention is, one is, it's actually possible now to drive sustainability and productivity simultaneously. And James touched upon that as one is, it's, there's a technology piece of it that allows that. One of the things is that actually using data. So actually using real data as opposed to estimates, you know, it's hard to optimize things or improve things when you're using estimates, okay? But using the real data through the digital, you know, systems and digital transformation that you put on the factory floor and in your operations, having the expertise to understand how you can optimize the processes with the technology to both drive greater sustainability outcomes and greater productivity outcomes together. And then the final point is that, and James talked about this, is this many times does require different business models and different ways of looking at things than have been done in the past. So, but I guess the point is, this is a big issue that we're facing and that our customers are facing. And I think we've started to find good solutions kind of on the, both the on the commercial side and on the technology side.
Yeah, Tom, if I can actually expand on the, I probably didn't emphasize it enough initially, but the digital transformation play. In actual fact, to a large degree, that's what our business went through. Is initially, we actually invested in analytics and alerting purely so we knew whether one of our drives was on or off, if we were running or if we were on bypass. And what we realized is as we added, you know, up to the now 400 data points on a system, is in actual fact, the richness of analytics in terms of extracting real-time data in you know, milliseconds, both from the client's motor and from our system, the additional optimization and value we can add, not only in energy efficiency, but of course, primarily in energy efficiency, but also just around motor health, you know, and system health, and how much more valuable that is to clients, engineering and operational teams. And again, that's using, you know, there's so many great investments and products around the digital transformation journey, you know, digital twinning and you know, machine learning devices and AI, et cetera, that, you know, the ability to just continuously overlay these additional technologies and add additional value and create additional value is something that we've come to realize is and it's a journey, you know, because of the accelerated evolution of these products.
And let me just add one other point. I think a lot of manufacturing customers, you know, have the concept that driving sustainability, okay, is at odds or detrimental to driving productivity. But I think the foundational piece, the thing that has changed, you know, in the past 10 years is through digital transformation, but the intelligence of devices, intelligent devices, you know, the having the large variable speed drives that have all the data, the ability to communicate and extract that data and then do the analytics to optimize the process and the energy savings in this case together. Now, I also do think, James, that it requires the expertise of knowing the process too, knowing what needs to be analyzed and how to optimize. So, I'd say one of the keys is the data through the intelligent devices. So that's really important.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
I'm Mike Loughran, and you're listening to the Management Perspectives podcast. Today, I'm speaking with James Hind, CEO of Energy Drive, and Tom O'Reilly, Vice President of Sustainability at Rockwell Automation. And we're discussing energy savings as a service. So I want to ask a little question here, because you both mentioned a few phrases. And James, you mentioned energy savings as a service, and our, the listeners to the podcast, you know, we've discussed and are probably aware of software as a service, but energy savings as a service. Could you explain a little bit more around this and why this new business model is being implemented? Because again, you both touched on this, you know, the data is driving new business models, new way of using the standard equipment people have got, and how you unlock that as a company and then say, hey, the customer can use it. But just explain a little bit more about energy savings as a service.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I think, as you say, software as a service has been around for a long, long time. The ability, I think at an accelerated level, there's a need and the ability using digital, the accelerated application of digital technology to convert traditional applications to a service model. And that's really what we've done. Is use and proven technology, both in terms of the heart of our systems being variable speed drives, for example, but as Tom alluded to and I mentioned, the numerous additional digital elements that are added to give a richness and a dynamic nature to analytics, to be able to ultimately take something that would traditionally probably be a turnkey project switched on and a party walk away and a client having to firstly maintain a system to deliver what they probably guaranteed or committed to, and from a CapEx perspective, and you know, effectively to deliver a result in terms of an energy efficiency. So what we've done is we've taken proven technology and through a process of collaboration, and it's a lot of it is trust build, because you know, often a service orientated model requires longevity, you know, in terms of the fee being a monthly annuity type fee to the client, and it's a performance contracting model. So we guarantee a certain result to clients. We take the risk from the assessment of data and the site and the operating system, as Tom mentioned, you know, really getting an understanding of what the system requires, developing the control philosophies and the data elements around that. And effectively delivering a system and a risk-free system, because ultimately it doesn't matter in terms of us putting a system down on a client site to control a big motor and saving, you know, 45% energy savings of a motor if we take the process down because of a failure of our system. So a key element of this as well is dynamic bypass, you know, where we can actually revert to the client system. So we always installing in parallel, in effect. And I think that's why, you know, from a risk perspective, the mitigation thereof, the guarantee in terms of delivering a net result, and the model not being lumpy capex, but rather a monthly fee funded by the net saving that you, or the gross saving that you've identified and the net saving you guarantee. And I think from that perspective, from a client, you take a lot of the hurdles out that the very reasons why they don't do it, you know, in terms of capex, resources, risk, lack of data, and we bundle it as a service and give it longevity. And we all know that a service, the beauty of a service type model is that you're on the hook every single month, as opposed to you deliver a great product once. And I think that brings focus. And I mean, I always say the reason we deliver what we deliver is because it's all we do.
I do think many times, we do have to talk to the customer for them to understand the different business model. So there is an education piece of educating how does this work, because I'd say sometimes they say this is too good to be true. But understanding the business model, as James said, you know, there's many benefits. Many of the heavy industries are CapEx constrained. So this is a way to avoid the CapEx. You have improved performance in addition to the energy savings, and you have extended life too of the system too. So there's a lot of benefits, but it is a different business model, different accounting practice. So we do have to, you know, work with the internal teams of the customers for them to understand it. And then the other beauty is that because it's data driven, it's real. You know, you're actually showing the real data. So that it's not, you know, estimates. It's real data proven actual results that you actually can show them, and they can see it. And that's what they're saving, and also what James gets paid on.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point. Actually, is that, you know, I mentioned trust previously in terms of building trust. You know, around mitigating risk, but also the longevity, being on the client side for 10 years, you know, on an application. A key part of that trust is the fact that, you know, what we actually deliver is credible and real. not a theoretical spreadsheet up front. And so the whole measurement and verification, and again, speaks to the richness of the data that has to be extracted and reported on. And that measurement and verification ultimately is the deliverable that we make to the client. And I think another point that Tom mentioned is that, you know, we've seen time after time that as much as our primary focus and our guarantee in terms of performance is around energy efficiency and energy savings, is that the richness of operational / performance data that's generated as a byproduct, which is very valuable to a client and to a client's operating teams. And you know, effectively reducing risk around a motor because of the way we control a motor, you know, being, you know, an electronic soft control as opposed to mechanical, process.
And again, you know, we've mentioned the software as a service being around for a little bit. That took a little bit of adoption. Yeah, there was a few kind of barriers put up. I don't own it and things like that. And you mentioned about the benefits. What can we explore a little bit about, you know, some of those roadblocks you might get from existing businesses and how you address those?
Yeah, it's very true. And Tom used the words that I've used many times. It's too good to be true, because I mean, it often appears or seems like it. Once we end up with a proposal to a client, and they look at it, it's one of two cases. Another term I use is often our biggest competitor ends up being our client, because when you go through this entire process at risk and you table, you know, the significance that you can deliver in terms of energy efficiency, often it's a case of, well, let's do this ourselves. But those same hurdles that were initially there are still there. And really the barrier really comes into what the risk we take and the fact that we invest in this asset. We the protection of the asset and the protection from a counterparty perspective that we can fulfill our 10-year sort of system life on that application is often quite a complex thing to negotiate with these big industrials. You know, we're dealing generally with big corporates, global corporates. But it's really just a process of ensuring that, going back to the trust statement I made, it goes back to the fact that the client has protection, you know, contractually and from a performance perspective as we would. And it's really getting over those hurdles that I found being the most complex. We in terms of as a service model, we always look for sort of a contract, and then we look for multiple applications on client sites. And we tend to see, once you do one, as the client case study I'll share a little later, once you do one and you actually prove the trust and what can be delivered, quite quickly 2, 3, 4, 5 happen. And it's just really building that trust and credibility.
Mike, I see it twofold. First one is that typically we work with both the engineering and the operations team at the customer to show that the technology can actually work, okay, that the technology is proven, we have the expertise to do the application, and it can work. That's kind of, I'd say, that's typical, whether it's as a service or a normal kind of technology solution sale. And then secondfold, then we need to work with the operations and procurement for them to understand how to work with the new business model of energy savings as a service. So that typically is the new thing, and getting them to understand that it's data driven, you know, that it's actually based on real results, how to account that, how to, you know, their systems, many times, you know, they may have to make tweak to their systems and processes to account for that. But through the discussions, they'll realize that the savings, both from a cost, energy, and, you know, CO2 emissions, are significant enough that it's worth to actually modify their systems, and it's for the long term too. So it is a kind of a step by step process that we normally have to go through. And as James said, you know, it's the first time when they do it. Once they've seen it work, then it's much easier.
Yeah, and Tom, just to expand on that a bit, I think, you know, it's a typical adoption lag. So energy efficiency in terms of being a key component around delivering net zero. You know, I think the estimate is roughly 29% of the $150 trillion that has to be invested to achieve net zero is energy efficiency. And, you know, those are, you know, the scope two elements, you know, on client sites, et cetera. And often the adoption is, you know, is the lower hanging fruit. And the optimization of you know the heavy energy consumption elements in the client site are done later because they perceive not to deliver you know product or operational value when in actual fact once you do you know the thorough work around the assessment and analytics they actually are value adding in terms of energy efficiency but the adoption comes later. And it's really a case of that's why I say as a service is a great model to see us through this phase because it's additional capacity.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The I'd say many manufacturing customers, you know, as their C-suite has made their goals for scope one, scope two, scope three, you know, then it comes down to basically manufacturing operations, you know, to operationalize this. And they're looking for help in terms of finding solutions, and they need to have solutions that help them reduce their carbon emissions. You know, and one of the key categories is around energy efficiency and energy savings. You know, for manufacturing, that's always a big place. But they need help in terms of understanding what those solutions are, how do they work, and at the same time, they don't want to do put in solutions that are detrimental to productivity or efficiencies. And this is a classic case of showing that through technology, through expertise, through the business model, you can do both. So yeah. I'd say a lot of times it's a first phase of education of, hey, you have some sustainability challenges because you've made some goals in the market that you need to achieve. You have to figure out how to do them. Here's one way we can help you.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yes, the old people, process, and technology together gives results. Doesn't change. Thank you, gentlemen. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for in this episode, but we'll continue this conversation in part two. So please join us again when we'll be going into even more depth on this fascinating topic. You've been listening to the Management Perspectives podcast. Please follow me, Michael Ochran, on LinkedIn and Twitter, where I publish all of my podcasts and blogs. If you enjoyed the podcast, then please rate and review us, as this really helps the show.